Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Transforming Trauma. I'm Eve. In my day job as a clinical social worker, it's all about problem solving and supporting people through major life transitions. I am driven by my belief in the healing power of our relationships with each other and with caring professionals. On this show, you'll hear from many colleagues and courageous trauma survivors who have chosen to share their stories of recovery. They believe, just as I do, that it's time for a new narrative about sexual violence that does not require survivors to perform victimhood. Our hope is that sharing their stories will be helpful to you, the listener. We've often changed their names and taken steps to make sure they feel protected. I'm humbled by the opportunity to host them and hope you'll hear yourself in these conversations and realize you're not as alone in the struggle. Maybe it'll inspire you to connect with someone you love about your own recovery. Transforming Trauma is presented in partnership with Rachel Grant Coaching, and more resources can be found at rachelgrantcoaching.com. Now on to the show. This month's topic for Transforming Trauma is about navigating a relationship with one's perpetrator after years and years since the abuse was first perpetrated or inflicted. This is very common for people to continue to be in relationship, to be in community with the person or people. You can think of so many scenarios, whether they're stuck on a college campus with the person, and someone in their family, somebody in their church community. But a couple years ago, I heard from somebody who was asking about what to do about this, feeling lost going through this when you still love the person and feel guilty about still caring for them and just feeling kind of alone in that. And then just this weekend, I heard from somebody else in a large Facebook community of Beyond Survivors. So they were also looking for connection around this, kind of sharing that their abuse had been acknowledged in their family, but now they feel as though they have kind of a split reality of denial kicking in and feeling shame around that, feeling like the people are nice and that the abuse was acknowledged, but then feeling shame around maintaining this relationship with them and that it doesn't feel good. And so looking for how other people have navigated it. So I thought that it was a good topic to think about. And one reflection that I thought I would share is that it's helpful to try to stay away from thinking in black and white, that just because you have a connection with someone or some people doesn't negate the fact that it still feels difficult at times. It's not, you're either in a relationship with the person and it's easy, or you're not, and it's hard. You know, you could be estranged from people and it's even harder. So there's not a right or a wrong, and it's so easy to put a judgment on that. And for some people, it's really important to have it be all or nothing. And for other people, you know, it might be certain points in their recovery, and that boundary might change. So definitely not speaking as an expert on everyone's experiences, most importantly. But yeah, on a good day, I think it's possible to set new boundaries and honor the feelings that come up. And that might mean deciding not to answer a phone call or not reply to a text right away. Maybe you'll wait a couple hours or a couple days before you respond, if at all. Maybe you are going to have to skip a gathering or a meeting where that person would be there. On a hard day, when you're feeling less grounded, it might be hard to identify what choices you have. But there are many layers of acknowledgement and apology and a lot of complexities in understanding the impact of child abuse or any kind of abuse. So in an ideal world, there would be a recognition that recovery is ongoing, and a limited number of therapy sessions or conversations does not mean that no new questions or challenging feelings are going to arise, that not just you, but everyone probably in the community, in the family, on the sports team would probably benefit to address. So I think it's important to say that you do not have to accept that you've already gotten some kind of apology or acknowledgement, and that you have to, quote unquote, move on, which is something I hear all the time. This is a common response from people who would prefer to deny that there's a long-term impact of their actions, or perhaps their inactions, their inability to protect you, their inability to respond in a way that felt like it had integrity or you know, mitigated all that came after. So the work is how to create space for those feelings that come up. So for the person who is feeling this inauthentic dual reality of shame with, you know, staying in contact with her family, even after some time where she was not speaking to them. So what do those feelings need? Who do they need them from? I think that a lot of times people who have experienced abuse as a child, they kind of keep going to the wrong places to meet those needs, maybe to people who can't provide the nurturing love and assurance that they might have needed as a kid and maybe are seeking now as an adult. So where can you get those important pieces from people who do have those validation and empathy skills, whether it's a therapist or a partner or a support group? You want to feel seen and understood. Maybe you're feeling invisible or unlovable, not worthy of being understood. Maybe you're feeling alone or abandoned. So reminding yourself, just as you would, you know, a little kid, this is hard. Maybe you're scared right now. Reminding yourself that I'm here for you. Maybe you want to put your hand on your heart or somewhere that's comforting and acknowledge that it's okay to feel sad or confused. In fact, if you weren't feeling sad or confused about these complex relationships, you know, that's maybe more concerning. There are sad feelings that will come up, whether it's grief or disappointment. You know, it's not the same as a family or a situation in which abuse did not occur, and it is confusing. So honor those feelings, create space for them. Wishing them away, I imagine that's not working. I think if we could do that, we all would probably opt to not feel any hard feelings. But really, what helps them to lessen their power and helps to integrate yourself is to welcome them and acknowledge those feelings and befriend them, be kind to them. Note that they're there and they kind of lose their power. But I certainly have been in places in my life and in my journey where it felt very inauthentic to be talking and processing in certain spaces the trauma, and then in other places feeling like I had to kind of hide that part of me away and pretend nothing happened. So I like to remind people that our feelings and our relationship boundaries are always shifting. So they might feel static, and just to remind yourself that you're not where you were 1 year ago, maybe not even 2 months ago, 1 week ago. Every day is different. So if you can challenge that black and white thinking and bring some curiosity, how you can relate to those feelings in a different way, I think that that's a really good place to start. And certainly finding Facebook groups or support groups are huge in navigating recovery with, you know, still having perpetrators in your life. I wish it were so easy for those who are fortunate to have someone acknowledge or apologize that it could just be over. I think that that's sort of a myth, and, you know, it's some people wish more than anything that they could have that validation. So many people are never believed, or maybe their perpetrator dies. So it is certainly very powerful to be believed and to have it acknowledged in any sort of way. But I think a lot of people just aren't able to really join us in the recovery process. There is a book, Allies in Healing, that I would recommend for people who are interested in doing the work, especially for partners who want to understand. It might not all be relevant, but you might help your partner by kind of dog-earing the pages that you feel like are most resonant for you. I'm sure it can be a little overwhelming. It's a little bit of a thick read, but there are also support groups for partners that you can look up online, or contact me if you're ever having trouble finding one. I'd be happy to be a resource. But yeah, this topic is near and dear to me. It's not something that you learn about lightly. It's something that people, you know, stumble their way into, and often isn't a topic that we discuss very frequently. Certainly not in my graduate training. So I appreciate the people are reaching out to find other folks who are going through this. I'd say I recently had a revelation on a 9-day meditation retreat that was interesting to me, because I thought that I had reached a level of acceptance in my own healing, and it was just like, wow, there's so many layers to acceptance of the reality, and not fighting it and wishing people or your situation was different. So I just felt this immense sadness and grief, and there were a lot of tears, and I was really surprised that there was so much emotion there, but it was good. It was good to feel that release. I think in the past, I haven't been able to feel anger or sadness. I felt, quote unquote, like forgiveness and compassion and just kind of protectiveness. And, you know, I think health is when you feel like a range of feelings. If you can only kind of feel one thing, I don't know if that's what we're striving for. So I like to remind myself and other people that it's a good thing if you're able to be in touch with complex range of feelings, a range of feelings that really do justice to the life that we live. But it was a good experience for me to recognize that I was wanting someone to change, and that they're not likely to change, and what that means for me, and really having some real clarity about who this person is, and really letting go of that child longing for a relationship or a person to be, you know, perfect and be the idol and the protector and the role model that I desired. So, you know, it really is a loss, and it's going to bring up emotions. So I encourage people listening to honor the waves of grief that come up, stay open to whatever feelings you have now shifting and discovering new layers of understanding. I wish I was talking to a friend about writing some kind of poem about, you know, every year of my life, kind of like a new understanding and conceptualization of my own experience. So I think that really just goes to show how our truth is our own, and we are the authors of our story, and no one else is. So I'd love to hear from you about questions related to this or anything else that you know, maybe you're feeling alone in, and see if we might be able to talk about it on a future episode. I have some great guests lined up, and just wanted to thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to visit rachelgrantcoaching.com to learn more about sexual abuse recovery coaching and explore resources available on the site. And please be sure to subscribe to this podcast. We have so much more to share. Thanks, everyone.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.